Dear Lord, I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit today, Lord, that this message will not be mine, but yours. Use this imperfect vessel to speak your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, I'd like to talk to you about our connection with God. Now, salvation, we know through John 3:16 that all we have to do is accept Jesus' gift of his sacrifice, and if we believe in him, then we are saved. So to achieve salvation, that's through Jesus. But how can we establish a connection or a relationship with God? Or is there a need for that connection? So if you'll turn with me to John chapter 15 and verse 4. We'll take a look at a need for that connection. In John chapter 15, in verse 4, it says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." If we aren't abiding in Christ, if we aren't connected to him, then we can't bear fruit. So we need that connection. Just like if you were to have a cordless power drill, it has a battery which powers it. When it's fully charged, it works really well. But the longer you use it, the more the battery runs down and the less it works. If you've ever tried to use a drill where the battery is almost dead, it'd be a lot easier to use a toothpick to turn the screw than the drill, because it's not going to move it at all. In the same way, we have to reconnect with Christ and stay connected to him to continue to have his power and to be able to do things for him in our lives. Because if we aren't connected, then we can't do anything. But what is connection? And how do we connect? Well, as people, we connect in many different ways. In fact, today, with a social networking age, there's constantly people who are connecting through Facebook and Twitter and other ways with people they've never even met before. But there's other ways to connect with people, too. We connect with our coworkers because we spend time with them every day working with them. We connect with people who have the same exercise habits we do at the gym. We connect with people of the same culture. With our neighbors, doctors and patients connect with one another, pastors and church members, teachers and students, people who drive the same kind of vehicle we do. We connect with people through a lack of connection with others in the group. We connect with people who have the same hobbies, people in our family, same religious beliefs, even sometimes if we're standing in line next to someone for a period of time, or on an airplane or in a bus. I don't know how many of you have, but I know that I have had longer and deeper conversations with people I've sat next to on the airplane than people I've been friends with for years. Because the situations we are put in cause us to connect, because we have a similar experience with someone, and we connect with them in that way. So there's many different ways we can connect. But is it always an emotional connection? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Well, is an emotional connection even necessary? I came across an article online that actually was a portion of a book written by Isabella Glad called 7 Tips for a Strong Emotional Bond That Lasts, talking about a relationship and the connection that's necessary. Number one says, study your partner. Understand what your partner needs and wants from life and you. This means paying attention to them when they talk. This can be applied to God as well. To understand God, we need to know what he needs and what he wants from us in our life. It also means paying attention to him when he talks to us, and when others share what he has to say to us too, what the Bible has to say. Trust is number two. Develop a sense of trust with each other. We must develop a sense of trust with God, for if we don't trust him, then how can we believe in him and be connected to him? This is the building block to an emotional connection, will not come overnight. Both of you, emotional availability is number three. Both of you must be emotionally available to the other. If you hold back in any way, you're not opening yourself up to the possibilities of a strong connection. So we have to be emotionally available to God. Now you may be thinking, if we can achieve salvation through Jesus alone, why do we need to be worried about a connection with God? I recently, this summer, became engaged. And when I proposed and my fiance said yes, I didn't say, awesome, let me know when the wedding is, I'll see you there, you know? That's not the end of it. Continually, I have to continue to engage in that relationship with her. And not only that, help her plan for the wedding. But even once I reach the wedding, when we get married, I'm not going to say I do, see you later. We're entering into a relationship that has to continue. Yes, she has agreed to be in a relationship with me. Just like accepting Jesus, we've agreed to receive this gift from him and enter into this relationship with him for eternity. But we don't leave it at that. It's an ongoing relationship that we have to continually be connected to him with. The same way goes for when a parent has a child. When you take your child home from the hospital, you don't say goodnight to your spouse, go to sleep, get up the next morning, go to work. When you get off work, come back and see if they're still there and maybe what they're up to. But you're taking on a commitment to take care of that child and to love and nurture it. Just like with Christ, we have made a commitment to him. We have given our lives to him by accepting his gift, his sacrifice, and continually to work with him. He's also made a commitment to us to love and take care of us, just like you have with your children, he has with us. So a connection is necessary. But maybe that's not enough for you. Maybe you need to see some instances in the Bible where it talks about people having a connection with Christ. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 5. All the way at the beginning. In Genesis chapter 5, starting in verse 21, I'll be reading verses 21 through 24. And it says, Enoch lived 75 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he had become the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, going back to creation, Adam and Eve walked with God every day. That's understandable. He had just created them. They were the only people on the earth. You kind of understand that they would spend time with the man who created them with his hands. But Enoch is a little further along, and he walked with God so much so, he had such a close connection with God, he didn't even have to die. God took him when he was 365 years old. Now, you may be thinking, well, that's a really long time. So he lived a long time, so then God took him. Well, his son Methuselah lived 967 years before he died. So Enoch wasn't even close to the end of his life. But he was so close with God that God took him up into heaven to be with him. He's not the only one, though. If you turn with me into 2 Kings chapter 2, we'll look at another man who had a close connection with God. In chapter 2, we'll be looking at verses 9 through 14. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9. And it says, when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. He said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall be so. As they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind of heaven. Elijah saw it and cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw Elijah no more. Elijah had such a close relationship with God that God took him straight to heaven as well. And you may think that, well, Enoch, it just said he walked with God and then was no more. So we don't really know that God took him for sure, even though it says that. But here, Elisha witnessed Elijah being taken into heaven. Not only that, if it goes on to say that when Elisha came back, there was 50 men who convinced Elisha that they needed to search for Elijah, even though Elisha said no. He finally said, okay, go ahead and look for him. And they looked in the lakes and the forests and the valleys and the mountains, searching for Elijah, thinking, well, maybe God took him up and threw him down somewhere. But they didn't find him anywhere because God had taken him, because God had such a close relationship with Elijah that he wanted him to be with him right away. Now, I'm not saying that we can achieve that now. I'm not saying we can't either. The Bible doesn't say we can't achieve that connection with God. But there are people who had that connection with God, and the importance is there. Sometimes, though, we look at others and we think, look at all the things that are going on in their lives. I can see that they're close to God, but how do I know that's happening in my own life? It's important to have that, the daily devotion and prayer and reading your Bible with God to stay connected with him. But sometimes we don't always feel close to him. At least I don't. And if you struggle with that as well, I challenge you to consider that that's not necessarily you not being connected with God. Going back to the analogy of my relationship with my fiance, there are days where I don't necessarily feel close to her. But love isn't always just a feeling. Love is a decision. You have to choose to continue in that connection, to continue in that relationship, to be connected with him. Sometimes it doesn't even make sense. Sometimes that person, whether that you choose to be in a relationship with, sometimes they may make your life harder. Sometimes they may hurt you. Other times they love you and they do things for you, but it's not sunshine and gumdrops all the time. And being a Christian and having that connection, that relationship with God, isn't always easy, because God doesn't always ask us to do the things that we want to do. We have our own plan and our own thoughts in mind, but God has a plan for us that may differ from the things that we have in mind. So it doesn't always make sense, but it's a choice. And we may not always feel that connection. In fact, sometimes when you're in a relationship, you can be angry with a person and not even want to be close to them. But does that mean you're not connected to them? In our scripture today, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, if you'll turn with me there, we'll read that again. In 31, in verse 6, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you." God will not forsake you. He will always be there with you. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be connected to him. Sometimes you may have experienced a relationship in the past where it was pretty one-sided. Because just because you are putting the effort into the relationship doesn't mean the other person is as well. God is there right next to us all the time, loving us with everything that he has, which is more than we ever can imagine. But we cannot be connected to him because we choose not to put that effort into the relationship ourselves. He's never going to forsake us, never going to leave us, but he's there wanting to have that connection with us. There's a story about two brothers. In the 4th century AD in Korea, a man had two sons. The elder rose to become chief justice in the land, and the younger became an infamous bandit. The elder brother loved his younger brother, but was unable to persuade him to change his ways. Eventually, the younger son was caught and brought before his brother, the chief justice. Everyone in the courtroom thought that the younger brother would get off because it was well known that the chief justice loved his brother. But at the end of the trial, the chief justice sentenced his brother to death. On the day of execution, the elder brother came to the prison and said to his brother, "Let's swap places." The younger brother agreed, thinking that once they realized that it was his elder brother, the execution would not go forward. Once he went up on the hill to watch the proceedings, his brother was brought out at dawn and, to his horror, was executed. Filled with remorse, he ran down the hill and toward the guard and told the guard his name and that he was the criminal who should be executed. The guard said to him, "There is no sentence outstanding on anyone with that name." In the same way, Christ died for our sins, and there is no sentence outstanding on our name. He has given everything to have that relationship with us, so that we can be with him. But it's up to us to make that connection happen. We have the opportunity to pray with him, to communicate with him, in the Bible, to read his words. But more than that, when you're working in a job with someone, you can be connected to a person because you share an experience with them, you do the same thing with them day in and day out. But that's it. You share those experiences, but there's nothing more than that. When you leave, you don't miss that person, you don't think of them, you don't... Sometimes you do, but it's not necessary to have that connection. But when you're in a relationship with someone, when you're choosing to be in a love relationship with someone, it's different. Because not only do you share in experiences with that person, but you open yourself up to them. You share your fears, your joys, your sadness, your love with them. You share everything with them. And to have that emotional connection with God, we have to do the same thing. He's shared everything with us. He shared the history, the future, and his love. And all we have to do to have that connection with him is to open our hearts to him, to share those daily things with him, the things we care about, the little things, because God cares about them too. And he's standing right there waiting for us to share them with him. But we don't have to. It's up to us to have that connection. We can go on just sharing in the experiences, reading the Bible, seeing what he has done, thinking about God, knowing what he has done, knowing the things he has done for us, knowing the things he has done in the past and he will do in the future, but we don't necessarily have to have that connection with him if we don't make that decision. But he wants us to. He's waiting there for us to do that. We thank you for the sacrifice you have given us, the love you show us, and your willingness to be there right beside us every day. God, I pray that we would be willing to open our hearts up to you, to make the effort to have that relationship with you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.